20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And remember, you can always subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And of course, you can check us out at cheeseheadtv.com. I am Kyle Fellows, and I am here with my co-host, Andrew Mertzig. It's another great Friday. We're excited to be here. What's up, Andrew?
It is good to be back, Kyle. Another week, another win, another fantastic performance by the offense. Yawn. Wake me up when the team faces some adversity. Like, really? Come on. This isn't even interesting.
I thought you were going to say, wake me up when September ends, which would have been
very... Woo! No, it's serious. I mean, like, things are going awesome, but... What's really important this week is this is episode 800 of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Like, obviously, the team's awesome, whatever. Like, we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about them. But I remember you and I doing episode number 2, and that seems like it was basically yesterday. So the fact that we have thousands of listeners from around the globe, it's just absolutely mind-numbing. Like, people actually listen to us, you and I, rant about our favorite football team. It has been an amazing journey so far, and I really just can't even express my gratitude to all of the listeners for tuning in.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Episode 800, and as Andrew said, thank you for sticking with us, listening to our sometimes coherent rants about the Packers and sharing in our passion for Green Bay football. But Andrew did say to wake him up when this team faces some adversity. Well, Andrew, we have some adversity to talk about, I think, today. So, yeah, we do have to talk about this. This is not some fun news, but it is our duty to tell the good people, the Packer fans, what's happening. So we started getting nervous about midday on Thursday when it was reported that Alan Lazard was not at Packers practice, and then we heard that he was dealing with a core muscle injury and that he would speak with doctors to look at his options. And then just about an hour ago, this is Thursday night, Adam Schefter tweeted that Alan Lazard has already undergone core muscle surgery and is out indefinitely. Obviously, this bit of that adversity that Andrew mentioned. You hate to see this for Lazard, who was on the show just a couple months ago and was really excited about a big second year. And we were seeing that come to be on the field. He had a monster game last week against the Saints, and now no more. It's going to be some time before we get to see him back out there on the football field.
Yeah, and obviously this is bad news for the football team, and coming off his breakout performance, it just adds even more to that. And I'm absolutely gutted for Alan as a person. Like, we only talked to him for maybe 30 minutes, and he made an impression on me as a really, really phenomenal young man. And to see all your work pay off in such a big way on Sunday, and then now to be out for an extended period of time, that's just super tough. But if there's anyone who can work his way back to being in the same position in the future, I think number 13 can absolutely be that person.
Yeah, absolutely. Just wishing the best and a speedy recovery. But speaking of recoveries, I've seen anywhere from a range of recovery for this from 3 to 8 weeks to 3 to 12 weeks. So it's all dependent. We don't know a lot of details about the injury. Obviously, this has all happened really, really quickly. And Andrew and I are not doctors, if any of you were confused. But Andrew, how are you feeling about this Packers receiving group headed into this week and the weeks ahead without Alan Lazard?
Yeah, this really hurts, right? I mean, if you want to talk about Alan Lazard as your wide receiver 2 or your wide receiver 3, it doesn't really matter what you label him as. This is a big blow to that depth chart. And I do think, you know, I know you're going to make fun of me for this, but I think Equanimee St. Brown getting healthy during the bye week and being ready as a real hidden weapon versus Tampa coming out of the bye is the most obvious move. But I do, I think to try to replace some of that production, we'll see more two tight end sets, probably less rotation amongst the wide receivers in general. And one thing to remember, Alan Lazard was a phenomenal run blocker for a wide receiver. They would bring him down to the line of scrimmage in short running situations as a sort of extra tight end. So there's just another element that William missed in addition to his pass catching.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't understate the hole that this is going to leave. There's no really quick plug-and-play solution here. The Packers are going to have to tweak their offense a little bit and do things a little bit differently. I'll be curious to see if they do use Tyler Ervin a little bit more in that pass-catching wide receiver role that was advertised throughout training camp to get a little bit creative there. We know Reggie Bagleton showed some nice things in camp. He's available there. Someone tweeted that Jake Kumerow is available to be signed off of the Buffalo Bills practice squad. I'm dying. The face and the eye roll that Mr. Andrew Mertzig just made was pretty fantastic. I'm sorry for those of you listening couldn't see that. But Jake Kumerow is available, someone the Packers could bring back who is familiar with the offense and has the trust of Aaron Rodgers. Not in love with that option, but, you know, worst comes to worst, that exists. And then I saw someone tweeted, Jordy Nelson is actually going to be in town for his induction, right, this weekend. So it's been planned, the return of Jordy Nelson to the Green Bay Packers, obviously. And then, obviously, that's a joke. Not joking, someone else mentioned Randall Cobb is with the Houston Texans, and that, you know, it seems Bill O'Brien just likes to give players away. So why not a reunion with Mr. Aaron Rodgers there? That could be a natural one as well. Obviously, those are far from being likely scenarios. But, you know, we got to talk about everything here. But just like the Packers, we do have to turn our attention to this week and to the Atlanta Falcons. Today, we're back for another episode of Key Matchups and X Factors to help you get ready for the Packers Monday Night Football game with those Atlanta Falcons. And there are some really important matchups to look at in this one here, Andrew.
Yeah, so I have a question for you, Kyle.
Okay.
I'm going to butcher some names today, but I'm going to try. So here are some people.
Here we go.
We have Foisade Oyuokan, Deadrian Sinat, and Sherrod Neesman. Are these Atlanta Falcons defenders or Marvel comic book characters?
Oh, all right. I didn't hear Star-Lord in there, so I'm going to go with Atlanta Falcons defenders just because that's what today's episode's about.
Yes, and those three players who I mispronounced all of their names are actually the three highest graded Atlanta Falcon defenders, according to Pro Football Focus. Nice. So they do only have a combined 92 snaps on the season, but they have really the only high-level grades on their entire defense. So when people say the Falcons' defense has been bad so far, they mean it, and they are correct. So for a team that has Grady Jarrett and Deion Jones, this defense has been capital B-A-D bad. So my key matchup for this game is the Packers running game against the Falcons front seven. And yes, I found a way to fit almost the entire offense and defense into my key. Good for me. Always cheating in this game. I have one more question for you. Okay. Dante Fowler, Charles Harris, Tack McKinley, and Deion Jones. Is there anything that those guys have in common?
They are all Atlanta Falcons football players.
That is also true. Not what I was thinking, but you are correct. They're all really athletic Atlanta Falcons defenders. Okay. But they are all also very undersized for their position. This is a team that if you can control Grady Jarrett in the middle, you should be able to have a ton of success running the ball. And I want to see some hat-on-hat blocking with fullbacks and tight ends. Just making lanes for Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams to have big days. I think it's going to be crucial for the Packers to get a lead so they can really lean on the Falcons defense. First of all, wearing them out the way that they did against the Vikings defense in week one is not only going to allow them to expand on the lead, but then keeping the ball out of the hands of Matt Ryan and that really dangerous offense. So that's what I like. I like the Packers offensive line to just wear this team out. And I like the Packers skill players those tight ends, those H-backs, even the bigger wide receivers, to really like lean on that defense and create some big time separation in the second half of this one.
All right, very nice. I like that we got a little bit of Guardians of the Galaxy there in with this defense for the Atlanta Falcons, learning their roster and not some Marvel characters there. Andrew, nice work. I was going to do my best today to not talk about Packers wide receivers for a couple of reasons. First, because Andrew and I spent a good amount of time at the front end of the show discussing that position, but also because this will be 3 weeks in a row that I focus on the Packers wide receivers versus opposing cornerbacks. But here I go again, because especially in this Atlanta matchup, it has to be discussed. It just has to be talked about. The Falcons' highest graded corner is former Michigan State Spartan and Cincinnati Bengal, Darqueze Dennard. But Dennard was placed on IR this week with a hamstring injury, so he's out for at least the next three games. That's obviously a huge blow to this Atlanta secondary. A.J. Terrell is already on the COVID IR after testing positive last week. Looking at the league's COVID procedures, it would appear that he would miss this week's game as well. Regardless of who is available, the Falcons have two of the top 10 corners in the league in yards per target. That is not a good statistic. Isaiah Oliver allows the sixth most yards per target, and A.J. Terrell, who probably doesn't play this Monday with the COVID designation, is 10th in yards per target. So this is already a leaky secondary that they might be without two of their starters this week on top of that. Kendall Sheffield is scheduled to be back with this team. He's likely to be their corner two behind Isaiah Oliver. But Sheffield has been hurt to start the season, so Monday night's first snap will be his first snap of the season. So we know now Devontae Adams is not a sure thing to play this game Monday night. Coach LaFleur said today that the week five upcoming bye will have no impact on whether or not Devontae plays this week. But man, I think it's interesting to go ahead and let Adams rest, give him a total of 3 weeks off with next week's bye included, and make sure that he's healthy and ready to go for that week six game. But now that Lazard is out, I'm kind of curious if we'll have any more lingering impact on that decision and how Devontae is feeling come Monday. So we'll see how all that works out. But regardless of who the Packers receivers are this coming Monday night, it would be tough if it was MVS on top of that list. If your wide receiver one is MVS, that's a disappointing group. But the good news is that they are playing a really, really vulnerable and increasingly thin group of Atlanta Falcons cornerbacks in this matchup, which could help ease some of the pain of this wide receiver group this week.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you make a good point, and in theory, it makes a lot of sense to want to rest Adams and make sure that he can get to 100% before he has to play against Tampa in what would be their week six matchup. On the other hand, you know, the all gas, no break mentality, and the fact that with the NFL rule changes this year, only the 9th seed in each conference is going to get a bye week. I think you really do have to manage each game as so incredibly valuable. But certainly they won't put Adams out there if there's any risk for re-injury. But that's going to be a really interesting development as we go through practice the next 2 days. Absolutely. So we're going to switch over to the key matchup on defense, and I'm going to go with the Packers defensive line. So basically I'm focusing on Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, Kingsley Keke against the Falcons' interior offensive line of Alex Mack, Chris Lindstrom, and James Carpenter. Alex Mack is aging but still playing at a pretty high level. Lindstrom and Carpenter are both former high draft selections whose play can probably be described as mediocre. That might even be a little generous right now. A healthy Kenny Clark could go a long ways towards disrupting the middle of the field. The Falcons haven't really had a lot of success in running the ball, but you know, Todd Gurley and Brian Hill are good enough to hurt you if you don't stay disciplined. But my primary focus on the interior is during the pass game. We saw a breakout performance from Kingsley Keke last week, and I think the combination of Keke, Clark, And then a roaming Za'Darius Smith could give them fits. And if you can get pressure in the face of Matt Ryan, you can go a long ways towards slowing down all of those fantastic weapons that he has on the outside.
It sounds like we are both going to be paying really close attention to how this Atlanta offense and their offensive line specifically plays this week. You just focus on those interior guys and the center and the guards, but I'm going to be watching the Packers pass rush off the edge and how they match up with the Falcons' tackles. It's been well documented that the Packers' offensive line is really playing out of their minds right now. They lead the league in pass block win rate, and last week's opponent, the Saints, ranked second behind the Packers there in pass block win rate. So Za'Darius, Preston, Gary, Garvin, they had a tough matchup last week. But the Falcons' offensive line and their tackles specifically are not the Saints' tackles. Jake Matthews is a good starting tackle in the league, but the other snaps that have taken place here at tackle have been split between Caleb McGarry and Matt Ganeau due to an MCL injury for McGarry. But neither one has been good on the right side for the Falcons. McGarry did practice, so he's expected back with the team. But I think the Packers should find some really nice success rushing the passer against the Falcons' right side of their offensive line. And that will go a really long way in disrupting the Atlanta passing game, which can obviously be really, really dangerous if you don't limit the time that Matt Ryan has to throw. So I'm expecting, and as a fan, I'm hoping that the Packers' edge rushers can really disrupt this Falcons air attack on Monday night with lots of pressure in Matt Ryan's face.
I know we're previewing this matchup, right? Like the here and now, but there is always this fascinating element of roster building. And you and I talk about this all the time. And one of the things that I'm noticing as a pattern here, sort of two different things. Number one, not hitting on your picks. So you look at Atlanta, and they have really tried to bolster their offensive line and make sure to keep Matt Ryan off the ground and as clean as possible, the same way the Saints did with Drew Brees. And so they went out and they spent some money on James Carpenter. They re-signed Jake Matthews, and they invested first-round picks in not only Chris Lindstrom, but then also I think Caleb McGarry was a first-round pick. If he wasn't, he was a second. But high picks in offensive linemen that just haven't panned out. Lindstrom has not lived up. You take a guard in the first round of the draft, he better be great.
Yeah.
And Lindstrom has not been. And McGarry really hasn't lived up to his hype at all. And so that's a really interesting thing to take a look at when you're looking at pick investment. And then I also, I was talking about those light defenders that the Falcons have. And they really looked to bring in guys through free agency and even a trade in the case of a guy like Charles Harris that are all very much focused on pass rush and the passing game. And that's fine if you always have the lead. But, teams have very much used that against them. So it is interesting. Just a random thought that came through my mind as we were talking about
this. It absolutely super interesting. And you talk about like just the small tweaks to a roster. And I think it's like the NFL is so close, like teams from one to the other, really good teams and bottom of the barrel teams are really they're all talented. These are professional football teams, and they're only separated by a couple of pieces missing here and there by and large. And so you replace some of those players, like if you have Elton Jenkins, there's his name. If you replace one of these not succeeding guards for the Falcons with an Elton Jenkins, if you have, a really good starter at right tackle instead of a Caleb McGarry who you've invested a high pick on, if that works, if that pick pans out, this is a totally different team, and you're looking at an ability to protect Ryan from this Packers pass rush in the way that like the Saints did last week, where I'm going into this game expecting that we're going to see a much more impactful pass rush, and that's going to completely tilt this in the Packers' favor in my estimation. So you're right. Like, I mean, it's small things, but it comes back to the offseason, our favorite time of the year. Just the little tweaks that can be made really, really do impact a roster.
It certainly makes you very appreciative of Brian Gutekunst and his team putting together some pretty good draft classes so far, and guys that are certainly making impacts. But speaking of people making impacts, the last thing that we're going to talk about today are X factors. And so these are our super secret special players who are going to make an impact that nobody saw coming, or, you know, sometimes in my case, I cheat a little bit and pick somebody that's super obvious. But I'm actually not going to do that today, Kyle. I'm going to go back to swinging for the fences and hope my player is not deactivated on game day, like happened a few times last year. But this is a little bit risky, but I keep waiting for the week that they roll out a package for A.J. Dillon. I talked about the limitations of the light, quick Falcons defense, and I really do think A.J. has the ability to punish them. Here's a fun fact. A.J. Dillon outweighs Deion Jones by 27 pounds.
What?
That's not your late 80s running back on linebacker collision, but unless we're talking Christian Okoye, but I'm guessing Dillon's limited snaps have been because Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams pose more of a threat in the passing game, and it allows you to keep the defense more off balance in play action situations, because I think, you know, right now at this point in his career, having A.J. Dillon in the game might be a little bit of a tip that it is a running play. But there's also room for play action when they have to commit eight in the box. And I think A.J. Dillon can be the extra addition to make this offense even scarier than it already was. So I might be a week premature because they might just wait to unleash Dillon until after the bye week. But this would be a great time to get him some run against a defense that he should be able to expose.
So, I am with you on the A.J. Dillon hype train. I'm excited to see him get some snaps, just to see what he can do. I mean, he's obviously an incredibly talented player with a ton of physical ability. But as an Aaron Jones fantasy owner in three of my leagues, I'm psyched that I haven't gotten those touchdowns.
What button do I press to cut your mic right now?
I know that those touchdowns getting vultured at the goal line are coming, so I'm bracing for that because A.J. Dillon is built for that role. But just before we started recording, I noticed that the Grady Jarrett, an injury popped up for Grady Jarrett. He didn't practice on Thursday. I don't know what's going on there, but with it being a Monday night game, any players dealing with an injury do have a little bit better chance to come back and play. But my goodness, if you can run A.J. Dillon and his power through a line without Grady Jarrett, if by any chance that happened, my goodness, like, it could absolutely be a great night for Packers running backs in general, but certainly a golden opportunity for Dillon to make his debut, as Andrew is suggesting here.
I have a really quick question for you. Did you just say the Grady Jarrett?
Like, I did
the
say,
Ohio State?
I did say the Grady Jarrett.
That's great.
I may have been giving him some emphasis, or I may have misread my note on cheat sheet here.
Grady Jarrett.
The Grady Jarrett, yes. Hopefully he listens to the podcast and knows I gave him that much credit. It's pretty good stuff. But my X factor for this week is a whole position group. All right. I think the Packers linebacker group has the ability to be the X factor in this game. That can be in a good way, or it could prove to be a big liability as well. I don't necessarily think it has to be a liability. I think they'll be okay. Last week, the Packers lost Christian Kirksey to an injury, and that's obviously a big bummer. But Kirksey hadn't been playing his best football to start this season. In fact, Pro Football Focus has graded Kirksey as their 68th linebacker after 3 weeks and has given him a painful run defense grade. So losing Kirksey hurts in that he made the calls for the defense. He's supposed to be a big part of their plan for 2020 on defense. But the Packers' other linebackers have actually played pretty well this year. Chris Barnes has been an incredible surprise. Ty Summers did some really nice things when called upon last week. He's clearly a phenomenal athlete when you see him moving around on the field. And then Oren Burks, who's played only 16 snaps this season, he actually looked really fast and decisive last week as well in his limited action. So I have no idea what to make of the Packers linebackers, but I think they're the definition of an X factor because you don't really know what you're going to get. If you ignore the minimum snap requirements, Chris Barnes is a top 10 linebacker for Pro Football Focus. And while his overall grade isn't quite as good. Ty Summers has earned an elite grade, a top five grade in the league for his run defense in his roughly 40, 50 snaps that he's played. So buckle up and enjoy the ride this week, because we have no idea what we're going to get from this linebacker group. It could be a rough ride, or they could continue to impress. So I'm excited to see this, and I'm picking the whole linebacker group for my X Factor this week.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that are just really interesting there. One is, you know, we know, I talked about Ty Summers as a seventh round pick last year, and just the crazy RAS score that he had coming out of the draft. And, you know, if a player with those physical talents can figure it out even a little bit, he doesn't need to be the most instinctive guy in the world, because when you have that skill set, if you can just be in the right place most of the time, you can make up a lot with just being like super big, strong, and fast. And, you know, he's an elite athlete in a league of elite athletes. And I think, you know, that is something to really keep an eye out for, because if he starts to figure things out, oh boy, watch out. Yeah. Oren Burks looked really great as a specialist of sorts, and in that, you know, that role that used to be filled by Joe Thomas, that I think the Packers have sorely missed, a linebacker that you can just throw in on third downs or when your team has a two-score lead in the fourth and just let him chase around those running backs. I really like him in that role. And then, you know, Chris Barnes just continues to impress, just a super instinctive dude. And I've really enjoyed watching those young linebackers. Yeah, they've made some mistakes, and you know, some of those things might even be described as a little bit embarrassing. But if they grow, this could go from a unit that is a liability to one that could be a real strength down the road. So I really like what I've been seeing out of those guys.
And we haven't talked about Kamal Martin at all. And I know, like, obviously he's scheduled to come back from injury. I can't remember exactly the turnaround, but that's going to be a post bye week return for him. But I mean, this is someone that was getting all kinds of hype in training camp. And like we talked, you don't always expect buzz for day three picks. And so the fact that he was getting that spoke to the impact he was making. But same thing with Chris Barnes. We've been wrong before about players who come out and have these great starts and then they just kind of fizzle out and don't end up being the player that we thought that they were going to be. But it also takes a lot to ingest a defense and to get out on the field and to play fast, to play instinctive, and to play as well as he has and not make the mistakes that especially you're looking for from a first-year player. So like you said, I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces here. It's going to be interesting to see who kind of rises to the top here. But I think that it's kind of an exciting position group. So I think it'll be one to watch for the rest of the season and potentially for seasons to come as we continue to figure out who is going to be that linebacking group for the Packers. A really fun young group here.
One other thing that I wanted to talk about that, you know, we didn't really prep for, so I'm going to put you on the spot here.
All right.
So from a, you know, not that we're trying to read into the Atlanta Falcons psychology here, but for a team that has blown just two incredibly big leads in the last 2 weeks, do you think the pressure of having that on their shoulders, knowing that they're a good enough team to build up big leads against pretty good NFL teams and then they have blown them, do you think that pressure weighs on them and they come out and play worse? Or do you think the motivating factor of Dan Quinn is probably on the hot seat at this point? Do you think they get motivated to play really well for their coach the way that they did down the stretch at the end of last year?
It's really hard to say. Like, I mean, like, it's interesting because you don't know. Like, is this a team that wants to play for their coach's job, or do they feel like that ship has sailed and next year they're going to have somebody new anyway? And then at that point, it's probably hard to get traction and feel like, yes, let's put our best foot forward and, you know, do those kinds of things. You know, if you feel like if you feel like his job is already basically gone and you're just kind of riding out the rest of the season. But this is such a talented team that they probably are kind of got to be upset that they could easily be 2-1, if not better, at this point in the season. And I think that that is why this could be kind of a trap game for the Packers. This is an incredibly talented team, and the defense has massive holes. Their secondary is horrible. They've done a terrible job replacing talent on the back end. But my goodness, this offense is way more talented than their record is giving them credit for, and one reason that I think it's going to be important for the Packers to be able to put up points in this game. And obviously we don't know if we're going to have Devontae and what weapons we're going to have available, but man, this is a game that has me a little nervous, because it seems like one that so many fans and even pundits have given to the Packers already.
Yeah, and I think, you know, from my perspective, this is a game that's scary because the Falcons can put up points. And that's going to give you a puncher chance in any game, much less than I'm worried about the Packers potentially overlooking an opponent. And I think, you know, I don't really care if people want to say this is a trap game. I don't think the Packers are the type of team that's just going to gloss over a poor opponent. In fact, Matt LaFleur has so far really not lost any games that you had expected them to win easily. Maybe you could talk Chargers. I feel like the Eagles last year were a very good team, so that one wasn't even like that bad of a loss. So I feel like he's handled most of those teams, and the team has been ready to go for those. I do think, you know, the Packers offense has been so good that a little bit of regression is almost anticipated, that they maybe can't keep up the pace of averaging 40 points a game. But we will see. This defense, very vulnerable. So I think a lot of it will have to do with how the game starts. Do the Falcons start out hot and the Packers are playing catch up, and then they don't have Lazard, potentially don't have Devontae Adams, and that becomes a really big challenge for them? Or do the Packers get out to a lead and then, you know, they're able to control the clock and really ground and pound and wear out that Falcons defense? So it'll be really interesting.
And we talked about the pass rush already in this game. You talked about it from the interior, if Kenny Clark is able to play. I talked a little bit about the edge rushers. If they do get out to that lead at the beginning of the game, and the Packers edge rushers and, you know, Kenny Clark can just really focus on getting pressure, that changes this game dramatically. Then, you know, if they have to like lay back, and if they're able to give the ball to Todd Gurley and those kinds of things for a lot longer into the game. So we'll hope that that's the case and they can get out to a big lead in this one and kind of be able to control it from the start.
But that is all the time that we have for today. This has been Packaday Podcast number 800. Hopefully we'll be around for another 800 and more after that. But you can find Kyle on Twitter @Packer_pundit, and you can find me @AndrewMertig. Remember to also follow @PackadayPodcast. Please subscribe and rate the podcast if you like what we're doing. You can catch Kyle and myself every single Friday throughout the season and even in the off season. And we'll be back next week, and we are going to be talking bye week. And maybe, just maybe, we'll have a super special guest. You'll just have to tune in and find out. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember. Go, hey, go!